Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I have an amazing, beautiful guest on Shaped by Faith today, Leanne Mancini. Hey, Leanne.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for our listeners to hear everything that you do, but especially the information in your book and your show. You're doing it all for God's glory. And I love that. I love how God uses our gifts for his glory. I want to go ahead and read your bio, okay? Because it's incredible. And then we'll get into the interview. Okay. So Leanne Mancini hosts the award-winning podcast, Raising Christian Kids, available on all major platforms and streaming on KHCB Radio's Uplifted Station. And she shares expert godly advice, biblically based wisdom and insightful tools for parenting children to bring them closer to Jesus. And we all need that. And grandparents out there, we need that as well. Leanne is also an award-winning Christian children's author and executive producer of the animated series See Kids, which can be viewed on Answers TV, Pure Flix, Right Now Media, and See Kids TV. And this series is based on her children's books about cute, colorful sea creatures who learn about God's morals and values and how to live those daily. And Leanne gave me a little preview of her books, and they are beautiful. I mean, they're just beautiful. I have this book back here of hers, and we're going to get into that, Leanne. And I do want you to eventually share your other books. They're amazing. But before all that, I want you to give us a glimpse into your background, like growing up, and what was your life like?
I was a happy-go-lucky child. My kindergarten teacher wrote home to my mother, Leanne is a happy-go-lucky child, and we have to be careful because that might cause problems later as she starts to grow older. Well, my mother said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. My child's going to remain happy and loving, because my mother, it was a single mom, and she instilled the love of Jesus in me. In our home, we had pictures of family, but the greatest and the largest and the most profound picture on the wall was a huge picture of Jesus.
Okay.
And so I never knew a time when I accepted him in my heart. I always had him in my heart since I was a young child. My mother always talked about us praying to him and trusting him and loving him. And so that's what I did.
That is amazing. So you were very blessed to have an amazing mom who loved Jesus and who trained you up in the ways of the Lord. Did you ever think you'd be writing books or, you know, producing a TV show?
I had no desire to even do it, let alone think that it was a possibility. But you know, God calls us, right? He calls us to do things we would never dream of. And he equips us along the way, because I had no idea how to write children's books. What I did was I wrote some stories for my children when they were little. Mm-hmm. We would go to Michigan to go see grandma and grandpa. And I wrote these stories because I couldn't find stories that taught them how to live out the biblical principles that we were trying to instill in them in real life situations they faced.
Yes.
I would find, you know, Bible stories, fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I wrote three stories actually, and the kids loved them. And then I shelved them thinking I was going to read them to my grandkids one day. The Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder. So then I had an illustrator and then we self-produced the seven books. Independently published the books. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they were picked up by this producer from P23 Entertainment and made into an animation series.
Wow.
So that was not on my radar to do that.
Oh, but God, he's incredible. God.
Yes.
We never know.
What? You want me to do what, God? Write a children's book?
So
have a podcast? Write a book? I didn't know that.
I know you're doing, I mean, it's exciting things that you're doing. Yeah. And of course you're doing them all to please God, but also to help so many people and especially kids. And we all need that. All right. So your book that's right here, raising kids to follow Christ, instilling a lifelong trust in God. This is an amazing book, and everyone needs to get a copy. I'm going to see if you can see it right here, everyone. It's got so much in it, and we're going to go over that. But how much research actually went into this? Because I know you had to have had a lot of research going on.
Yes, I'm a Bible professor at South Florida Bible College, so I like to research. That's what I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. I love to research and teach. So this was about almost three years of researching the brightest minds in children's spirituality, in addition to my knowledge as a parent and God, the Word of God, and condensing it into this book, touching upon as many subjects as I possibly could, because parents need a guide, how to do, parenting. I call it, we're parenting practitioners, right?
Yes.
We're always trying to do the best we can and looking for any resource that God gives us. So I felt called by the Lord to do all of this.
You know, there's so many people, there's so many grandparents raising their grandchildren today. I hear about that a lot from different nonprofit organizations that I'm associated with. And there's a lot of grandparents out there raising their grandchildren, and they need help. They raise their own children, but they also need some guidance. I think this is very doable. It's an easy read, a lot of great information in it. And so we need to get this in the hands of parents, caregivers, and grandparents. Leanne, what surprised you the most as you were researching for your book?
Well, just how much information there really is out there. We always say, hey, train them up in the way they should go, and they shall not depart on it, depart from it. And, read them Bible stories and pray with them and take them to church. There is so much more we can do, so much more. And that Bible verse, train them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it, finding out that really is not a promise. That's not the main directive God has given us as parents. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, called the Shema, that is where we're called to train our children. How, when you rise up, when you walk along the path, when you lie down,
yes,
organically, day by day, moment by moment, we're to impress, mold, transform our children's hearts to want to love and adore God and to know His word. So that was,
and that's
one of the
God's,
big surprising things.
Well, that's God's direction for parents, and that's His guidance to train up your children all day long, and not just, like you said, take them to church, which is all good. That's really, really good. But, I think it's in our actions, the way we are as parents or caregivers or grandparents, setting that example before them, and not just telling them about it, but actually living it out. How should parents deal with guilt or regret in raising their children? All of our kids are out. We have seven children, they're grown, they're out. And, there's some things we could have done differently for sure. But I know there's parents out there that are dealing with that guilt and shame. How do they deal with that?
Well, I didn't do half of the stuff that I have in this book when I was raising my kids, because I just didn't know. And the devil will try to keep you stuck in guilt, because if he can keep you stuck in guilt, then you can't go forth to do what you've been called to do or to learn what you need to do.
That's good.
God's word says it never returns void. And in Joel, we read, He will restore what the locusts have eaten. We just have to be obedient to do what we've been called to do once we know what we're supposed to do. And God makes it so easy for us. It's really not hard. When you wake up in the morning and you have a little baby, simply say the name Jesus often, as if Jesus is right there beside you.
Yes.
I say, if you have a 6-month-old and he's looking in the mirror and he's laughing, say, Johnny, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves Johnny. You're connecting his happy emotions with the name of Jesus.
That is so good. And that is so practical. I mean, you think about it. I mean, that's so good. Okay, let's take a real quick break. We'll be back with more Shape by Faith. So everyone stay tuned. Welcome back to Shape by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. And I'm sitting on a stability ball, Leanne, and that's why I may, like, you'll see me bouncing or rolling, you know, loosening up my hip flexors a little bit. So I am on a ball. You can do that. It's really simple. It's really, really easy. But thanks for being a guest on Shape by Faith. I love your book. So why is this an urgent read for parents raising kids?
Well, when I first heard about 5 years ago that 40% of middle schoolers from Christian homes were walking away from their faith and 65% from high school and college, I became alarmed. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? These are our children and they're our future. And so I started researching, and now we're here in 2024, and the recent statistics are between 13 and 14 year olds from Christian families, 70% don't believe Satan exists or is real.
Oh, wow. 84%. Yes, I remember reading that in your book. Yes.
Oh, it's scary. I cried when I read these statistics. I did. I literally cried. 84% don't believe we're born into sin and need a savior.
And these are Christians.
These are 13 to 14 year olds from Christian families.
Unbelievable.
This is Barna Research.
Wow.
Barna Research in Arizona, Christian Arizona University. 90% don't believe in absolute moral truth. And then the research goes on to Christian children's pastors. 53% believe that reincarnation is a possibility.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
56% don't believe in absolute moral truth. And 50% believe, this is when the tears, I'm like, oh, Lord, please, my help, what can we do? 50% of children's pastors, Christian children's pastors, believe that Jesus possibly sinned while he was on earth.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I guess my question would be, are they Christians? Is that,
they're in the churches teaching our children. George Barna said, we are on the precipice of irreversible destruction. Why do we find ourselves in the world we're living in? Because we don't have Christians in the four pillars of society.
You're right.
Government, academia, the media, and the church.
Yes, that is so true. Okay, so with that information in mind, which is frightening, what is your advice to parents with children in the public school system who are struggling with what their kids are being taught or exposed to during the day? Because that's gotten really bad too. I've got grandchildren also in public schools, and I'm like, oh my God, we just pray, you know,
it's
praying.
Tough.
Yes.
80% of our children attend public school, or a little bit over 80%. So the first thing I say is their worldview starts to formulate at 15 months of age, and it's pretty much solidified by the time they're 13.
Yes.
So
yes.
when your children's in a public school, you want to prepare them ahead of time for what they're going to hear in that public school or from people who are not Christians. Okay. You want to prepare, you want to talk about this at home. You want to show them articles if they're older. You want to discuss these openly, these various woke LGBT and all this stuff. And you want to teach them that, look, we're to love these people. As Christians, we're to love others. We're not to condemn them. Okay. We just know that God calls sin, sin. And our biblical worldview that we follow in our home, this is what we believe. And this is what they believe. And that's okay. But that's not what we believe. If they want to believe that, that's fine. And role play with your children also. Prepare them. Especially the older children, role play with them as well. Prepare them to be able to have a solid defense for why they believe what they believe. That's why I wrote a whole chapter on apologetics in the book. We want our children to believe because it's in their heart. They know it's right, not because they're pharisaical laws. We want them to be prepared to defend their faith in a loving manner.
Yes.
And we need to know God's word. We need to live out God's word, because we can't live out what we don't possess. And there's just so much that you can do. I'll just tell you also, so I've had parents say, well, my kids, I haven't done this with them, my teenagers, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Simply sit down and have a family meeting.
Yes.
And say, we're going to draft out a family mission statement, and here's how our family's going to behave. And here's an obedience and disciplinary statements where if you don't, we don't abide by these rules, these are the consequences. And have them involved in drafting it, because they're more likely to adhere to those stipulations if they're involved in it.
That's right.
And then you tell them three reasons why you're doing it. It's not because I'm the parent, you're the child. It's because I have to, I will be accountable to God how I raise you,
mm-hmm.
because I love you, we're doing this, and because I want to keep you safe.
That
they
is
can't
so good.
Argue those. They can't argue those three things.
No, you know, children need the tools and the resources. I know with one of our grandchildren, he's 14 years old, getting ready to go into high school. And this year has been really difficult for him because of everything, the wokeness in the world. And he's come to me and asked, well, Nana, what, you know, because we've had a conversation back and forth several times about it. And they need the resources. They need the tools. So you have that in here, don't you?
Yes, I have so much in there. It's a lot of the books that I read. I probably read over 250 parenting books. Everything
wow.
I get my hand on to research. Yeah, I have so many. And what I've done is I've condensed the brightest minds in children's spirituality, the information into this book.
Mm-hmm.
There's 312 references, Bible references in the back of the book. So you can go in the back of the book and say, well, I know this, she talked about something in Joel, you know, whatever it is, or Romans, whatever. You can go in the back of the book, look up that Bible verse and go to that page to find out what we're talking about. And I also have study questions that are open-ended study questions for each chapter. So you can have a Bible study in your home, a parenting Bible study at home.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. And I think parents should, grandparents, and they may say, well, by the time we get home, there's no, you've got 5 minutes probably, you know,
there's
instead of
nothing more important than
that's
raising
right.
your children.
That's right. And we need to put that out there, and we need to give parents and grandparents tools and resources. Now, you write about, and I think you've also addressed this, preparing the soil and planting the seed. So do you want to expand on that a little?
Sure. So we are preparing the soil from the womb to age 3. 18 weeks of pregnancy, that little baby in your belly can hear all the sounds. So you go and you volunteer at the church nursery. Let them hear children singing songs about Jesus.
That's so good.
When you have an infant, you know, they're screaming because they're hungry, and you give them that bottle, and all of a sudden they're cooing. They're so happy. What you say is, Sally, Jesus loves you. God loves you. You're connecting their needs being met with the name of Jesus or God. There's so much we can do when they're younger. That's preparing the soil from womb to age 3. And then from 4 to age 7 is when you're planting seeds into rich soil. By 5 years of age, 90% of a child's brain is fully developed. That's why children can learn 2 languages. They are sponges. They learn everything that you teach them. And in my research, a lot of the experts say, don't hold back on biblical words, salvation, redemption,
oh, wow.
Whatever it is, because you never know when a child will grasp that biblical concept. And children understand more than we give them credit for.
You're
and
absolutely
then from,
correct.
And then once that foundation's built, then you can, from age 8 to 13, you build upon the foundation.
Ooh, can you show your bear? Can you show that cute little bear that you have?
Yes.
Okay, can you explain the bear?
Okay, this is Scripture Bear, and every child has a teddy bear. Well, why not get them a bear that plays 8 scriptures in a sweet child's voice? You press the paw on the ears, and the little voice will say, honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20:12. You know, so all my proceeds from the bear, from my author's book, from my Sea Kids, are donated back to our nonprofit, Raising Christian Kids, which we give these resources to families that cannot afford to buy them. We work with the churches
that
to identify those in need.
So everyone needs to get this bear.
So cute.
He is. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Shape by Faith. Everyone stay tuned. Welcome back to Shape by Faith. Leanne Mancini hosts the award-winning podcast, Raising Christian Kids. Her book is incredible. You need it. And she has a little cute bear. And we're going to talk about her Sea Kids series. Just incredible what God has gifted you with, Leanne. But you had to say yes, and I'm going to use these gifts for your glory. We should all be doing that in whatever gifting God has given us. Let's talk about technology. Let's talk about phones and computers. All these things are distracting and ruining the mindset of children. So what do we do to help our children?
Well, you know, it makes me so sad when I'm at like a beautiful park enjoying the scenery, and I see a baby in a stroller looking down at an iPad
or
a cell phone. And there's God's nature. God's nature is the best way to teach children about absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just a lot of parents don't know what to do. They don't know how to keep their children occupied. So they throw these electronic devices in their hands instead of getting engaged in being a parent. Parenting is hard work, and that's what we need to do. At the age of two, children who are two and under should never have any screen time, because it stops them from speaking well. It holds back on their speaking.
Oh, wow.
That's what the experts say. It thwarts their speaking ability to speak, because how do you learn how to speak? You talk and you have interaction, face to face interaction, not looking at one screen all day long. Plus the cell phones are destroying and killing our children.
I agree.
It's destroying their brains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's killing them because they're, you know, becoming anxious. They can't live up to whatever they're seeing on the phone. Well, there's a new phone I'm so excited to share about called TrueMe, and it's TrooMi.
Okay.
And this phone grows with your child. So if your child has to have a phone, you give them this phone. It looks like a regular cell phone, and you can program it so they can only call you and you can call them.
That's good.
Can add grandma and grandpa or a friend or a family member. The parent has total control of who has the accessibility of the phone that they use. And then they have all these vetted apps that they put on the phone so children can research, but they can research safely. And I was talking to Bill, the gentleman that I interviewed for my podcast about the TrueMe phone. He said in the beginning, parents said that the teenagers were very upset when they took their iPhone away and gave them a TrueMe phone. But a lot of them came back. Most of them came back and thanked their parents, because what happened is the teenager would be out with their friends and the peers would say, oh, look at this new app and look at this and TikTok and all this. And they would simply say, well, I can't access it. I'm sorry. This is the phone my parents gave me and I can't access it. And it really saved them from the peer pressure.
Oh, because hadn't thought about that. That's true.
Yeah, and the kids really started getting more into books and doing outside activities and doing other things, and they're thanking their parents.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do believe that children want boundaries. They may not act like it, but I think they really want those boundaries. And as parents or grandparents, we need to give them those boundaries and stay within that. I know it's easy to give a kid screen time or something like that, but you know what I've noticed with teenagers and even older people, it seems like there's no interaction, like you said, face to face. Their heads are down. And as a health coach, I look at their alignment and their posture and their body language. And it's like they're kind of like over instead of standing upright. And, you know, it looks sad to me, almost like a zombie walking around. So I don't know if there's anything on the screen that's creating that. Who knows? We're not here to talk about that, but it's not good for them at any rate. How do we teach our children and grandchildren how to battle in prayer and how to stand up for Jesus in a culture that's anti-Jesus?
Well, that's where the apologetics comes in. Apologetics means just to be able to defend your faith in a loving mm-hmm. manner.
Okay.
That's why it has to be a heart transformation with our children. They have to believe what they believe because they know it in their heart to be true, and they want to obey and believe, not because they're told to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great Kolka said, it's not faith, it's about truth. What is true? You can have faith in a lot of things, but teach your children to know what is true. That's why the second part of my subtitle is, or my subtitle of my book is, Raising Kids to Follow Christ, Instilling a Lifelong Trust in God. You have to be able to trust what is true, and teaching your kids what is true, what is real, and that they can trust it. That's their worldview. Well, that helps along the way. You know, our worldview has to answer four questions to be an effective worldview. And the only one that answers these properly is the Christian worldview. Where do we come from? How do we determine morality between right and wrong? What is the purpose of our life? Why are we here? And our destiny, where do we go? So, you know, there's just so much that you can do. And it's not about belief. It's about commitment and conviction.
That's good.
What convicts us? You know, a lot of information goes into our head, but the only thing that changes our heart is what convicts us.
That's right. And I like that heart transformation that you mentioned. We only have like 30 seconds left. Can you show your See Kids series book? And where can we get a copy of these?
Well, if you go to raisingchristiankids.com, you can get our books, and you'll see that the pages are so colorful. I can't even open them because I'm in a hurry.
Oh, they are. And you said you had someone from that used to work with Disney.
Yeah, my illustrator worked for Disney and Warner Brothers. And so they're very colorful. And our animation series is very colorful. Our lead animator worked for Disney. He worked on Mulan and some of those other movies.
Oh, wow. Leanne, I wish we had more time. You're going to have to come back on, okay?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much for being a guest on Shaped by Faith.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.